Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports. Yes, it's day two back from vacation. I have to admit, I can't even remember my vacation anymore. It's been so busy. Lawsuits and court filings and Mike Flynn's case finally dismissed by Judge Sullivan. What a flurry of news that's broken out over the last couple of days. We're going to try to bring you up to speed on all of that, plus a very important story that we broke this morning about the founder of Papa John's, John Schnatter. If you remember, a couple of years ago, he was forced from his job over a race controversy, comments he had made. It turns out that the way the media reported those contents and what actually was in the transcripts, very different. And it took a former FBI director, Louis Freeh, to expose the misreporting and the dishonest portrayal of John Schnatter. We have the full report from Louis Freeh, former FBI director for Bill Clinton, former federal judge under George H.W. Bush, a bipartisan respected figure in America. He dug into the John Schnatter case, the Papa John's case, and found an entirely different story from the one the news media told you. I know you're shocked by that because that didn't happen during Russia or Ukraine or any other scandals. It's probably, I know you know, it happens all the time. Well, we're going to dig into that a little bit. And we're going to bring you up to speed on a lot of big breaking news. And also, a very special guest coming on today, Laura Trump. Yes, the daughter-in-law of President Trump, the wife of Eric Trump, here to talk about elections, the election fight, some big developments in the court system today. And of course, the growing expectation that maybe Laura Trump herself will be the next Trump to run for office. Yes, in the North Carolina Senate. There was a poll out yesterday where Laura Trump was in the lead among Republicans vying for that seat in 2022. Now, she hasn't announced, but her name has been floated out there, and she rose right to the top of the polls. We'll get to all of that, our exclusive interview with Laura Trump. But first, this word from our very important sponsors and advertisers. Hey, folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully, you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break in just a few minutes. Yes, Laura Trump is in the house. She's joining us. We're going to have a very important interview. So much to talk about on the electoral integrity front and on the Trump family front. A lot to talk about. Can't wait to get to that. But first, some breaking news. Just a few minutes ago, just before this podcast started, Judge Emmett Sullivan, yes, the guy that presided over the Michael Flynn case, I think the right word, it's a factually accurate word, is begrudgingly dismissed the case against Mike Flynn. It's a moot issue because the president's already pardoned Mike Flynn. He did that the day before Thanksgiving, a story that we broke here first at Just the News. But Judge Sullivan dismissed the case today, saying that it was a moot issue then because the Justice Department had no further standing because the Flynn had been pardoned. But what's interesting is the judge then went out of his way. That's all he needed to do is just say, I dismiss this based on a moot. But he went on for another 38, 40 pages to say how if the president hadn't pardoned Mike Flynn, how he might not have dismissed the case, how he resented what the Justice Department did in requesting that the charges be withdrawn. This is a very political document coming from what should be a purely legal office, the Office of Judiciary. I encourage you all to read it. It's up on our site. The actual story is written by my colleague, Joe Weber. The underlying document, the court ruling is worth digging into. It's in the dig-in section, so you just click on it, read it. But some very interesting sentiments, I would say opinions, maybe even some political bias, very clear in this ruling. Take a look at it. At the end of the day, the only thing the American public will remember in history was that Mike Flynn was pardoned and Judge Sullivan ultimately dismissed the case and the charges as that being moot because of the pardon. But let's read that ruling. It's worth taking a look at, and you decide for yourself whether you think Judge Emmett Sullivan was a neutral arbiter or an advocate. A lot of people have debated that. We know we've had Sidney Powell, Mike Flynn's lawyer, on this show talking about her concerns with Judge Emmett Sullivan's conduct. We've had other people on the show defending Judge Sullivan. You make up your own mind after you read the ruling. There's 42 pages for a decision that really we would have only required 2 pages. So read the other 38 and 40 and tell me what you think. All right. And before we get to Laura Trump, she's coming up in a few minutes. I wanted to bring to you a story I broke this morning. It is a report. You can read the whole report on Just the News. It's in the dig-in button of the story I wrote, but it's written by former FBI Director Louis Freeh, who was FBI Director from 93 to 2001. He served under Bill Clinton, was appointed, served all 8 years under Bill Clinton, and then served a little bit under President George W. Bush before he was replaced by Robert Mueller. And before that, he was a federal judge, and before that, a famous FBI agent who broke a lot of the big mob cases in New York, a very respected street agent, one of the few street agents who later became an FBI director. I think he was the fifth FBI director, the fourth successor to J. Edgar Hoover. But in any case, he was hired privately to take a look at the race controversy that broke out a couple of years ago at Papa John's, where John Schnatter, if you don't remember John Schnatter, he's the guy that was always on television with football stars like Peyton Manning pitching Papa John's pizza. Those commercials were iconic NFL moments. If you were watching a game, you could not have missed them. They were omnipresent. He was the guy in the red shirt, the black hair, always playing the straight man to the funny things that people like Peyton Manning would do on the commercial. Big fixture in the NFL scene. And a couple of years ago, he's forced to resign with allegations that he had used the N-word in a tape-recorded conversation, in that he had, these are the actual reports, say, the Associated Press, where I used to work for 20 years, reported that he had criticized in a earnings call the decision by NFL players to kneel. He criticized them. Those are headlines. You can't miss them. I embed them in the story for you to look at. Well, Louis Freeh did something that the news media didn't. He went back and got the actual transcripts of the two conversations that caused this controversy, caused a cancel culture moment in the boardroom, caused the founder, the chairman, the CEO of one of the largest pizza companies in the world, Papa John's, to step down, John Schnatter. Well, an amazing thing happened when he got the full transcripts, the entire transcripts, the full words that John Schnatter spoke. Guess what? In the earnings call, he never once mentioned the NFL players kneeling, never criticized them. Instead, he criticized the NFL leadership for not resolving the concerns that the players had that caused them to kneel. Again, he didn't even mention the kneeling. He didn't mention the thing. He said it was a debacle that the NFL leadership, a failure of leadership in the NFL to address these players' concerns and make their concerns be resolved. That's a big difference from saying I criticize players from doing it. You can look at the actual words in Louis Freeh's report, and then you can go take a look at like places like what the Associated Press and UPI and other people reported. It's almost as though the AP and the UPI didn't have the transcripts, or if they did, they did some really creative editing to create a false narrative. And that's what Judge Freeh, what Director Freeh concludes in this report, that John Schnatter, in fact, did not engage in any racial bias, had no racial animus. Not only did they look at the transcripts, they interviewed African-Americans and other people who had been around Schnatter for 40 years, couldn't find a single person who knew of a racially offensive or inappropriate comment, event, moment in Schnatter's life. In fact, there were ministers and African-American leaders and community leaders coming forward saying they were angry at the way Schnatter got treated in the media, couldn't believe it, and that they were mad that they weren't consulted, that no one came to the African-American community and asked them their opinion of John Schnatter. He had been a large figure, donor, supporter in Louisville of many of the African-American causes, the NFL. But the important thing is the news media reported something, and Louis Free has now shown it is not in the transcript, not even close. That's the first one. We talked about the earnings call. There was a second one, the one that was the knockout blow that caused Papa John Schnatter to resign from his pizza executive's job, was the claim that he had used the N-word in a what was supposed to be a role-playing racial training seminar brought to them by a Democratic-connected marketing firm that was working for him. And the story was, he said, the quote in Forbes was something to the effect that Colonel Sanders used the N-word and I get treated differently. Here's what was cut out of the news story, the Forbes news story, and others who reported it. It turns out that John Schnatter did say, he did in fact say, Colonel Sanders used the N-word and I never use it. That part of the quote was cut out to make it look like he was racist, when in fact he was actually condemning what Colonel Sanders said. And in fact, what he said in the conversation, the reason he wouldn't use the N-word, why he thought it was wrong, was in fact because he saw prejudice as growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, growing up as a child, and he did not want to engage in that, did not want to condone it, and he couldn't believe that he was being, while being a strong advocate for African Americans, was being criticized when someone like Colonel Sanders went around using the N-word. What a difference the actual transcript makes to the public's understanding, and what a disservice Forbes magazine and others did by only reporting part of the words and cutting out the context, and quite frankly, the defining part of this. I mean, John Schnatter used the N-word to point out, he said, I don't use that word like Colonel Sanders. He was saying someone else used it, I don't use it. And then he explained why he didn't use it, because he saw so much racial strife that he hated earlier in his childhood. He wanted to condemn it. He didn't believe in the name calling and the racism. Had that been reported, one has to wonder, would John Schnatter really have resigned and been forced to walk away from the pizza franchise he started in his father's back room of his tavern back in 1984? This is a really powerful cancel culture in the boardroom moment. It's a really powerful condemnation of a former FBI director, Louis Free, condemning inaccurate, in fact, he called it clearly inaccurate reporting, in the news media that misled the American public and created an unnecessary moment of racial strife where none existed. An unbelievable report. Take a look at it. You can read the whole thing on justthenews.com. The story's under my byline. You click on Dig In. You can see Louis Free's full report. You don't have to take my word for anything. To hit the Dig In button, read it. We're going to try to get John Schnatter on this podcast in the next few days so we can talk to him. He's been mostly silent for the last couple of years. This Louis Free private independent review of this moment really is going to change the dialogue, certainly the facts around this matter. And it is a strong warning sign to all of us who are in the media, those who read the media, consume it, that the behavior of the professional news media these last 4 or 5 years, particularly in the Trump era, has been less than stellar, less than good, less than honest, less than complete, less than accurate. Too often, far too many times, the Russia case alone is a perfect example. But here we have a brand new case where major, famous, big name news media got a story wrong, according to the former FBI director, Louis Free, and he lays it out there so you can see the underlying evidence and what the media report, and you can make up your own mind. We give you everything at justthenews.com to do that. We don't want to make up your mind for you. All right, I'm sure we're going to talk about the cancel culture movement, the news media a lot, with our next guest coming up right after the commercial break, Laura Trump. Yes, the daughter-in-law of President Trump, the wife of Eric Trump, somebody whose name is being uttered in the political winds of North Carolina as a potential Republican Senate candidate in 2022. Laura Trump joins us in a few minutes right after this commercial break. And remember, please help support our great sponsors, our great advertisers. Their advertising, their support of this show makes what we do at Just the News possible. The best way you can say thank you to them is to buy their products and services and give them a boost like they give us a boost. All right, we'll be back in a few seconds with Laura Trump.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, Laura Trump, is joining us. She needs no introduction. Everybody in the world knows who she is today, but certainly one of the most important advisors inside the Trump family, inside the Trump campaign. And Laura, I just want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Well, it's great to be on with you, John. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor to have you on. And I know so much has been going on. I wonder if you can bring us up to speed right now, just how things are inside the Trump campaign as you're fighting these various lawsuits. You've got the Arizona Supreme Court now agreeing to look at one element. You've got Justice Alito, you know, on the edge of looking at another. How is the campaign feeling about the course of these litigations?
Well, look, we still remain incredibly confident. We know that Donald Trump won this election. Sadly, we've become accustomed to having to work twice, three times, four times as hard as I think anybody else would ordinarily in a campaign or as a candidate. But you know what? It actually has prepared us in some ways for this moment right now. I think we can all agree that any other candidate, any other president seeking reelection would have conceded, would have thrown in the towel, would not be moving forward in the way that Donald Trump is. But I think the important thing that we all need to remember is that it is not just about this election right now. This is about the future of America. This is about knowing that we have a process in place in the United States of America that is legitimate, and every legal vote gets counted and every illegal vote is not counted. And I think you can very clearly see in many ways how we have presented fraud in numerous states across the country. And this is just the fraud that we know about. We have hundreds of people that have signed affidavits alleging
right.
what they saw or what happened to them. You just pointed out, you know, Pennsylvania, we've seen some really great things happen. We've had the opportunity throughout the past couple weeks to hold hearings in front of the state legislatures and bring these folks forward and have them tell exactly what they saw or what happened to them. And I think this is a great step. I think that this is part of the process that we need to have happen in order to see, you know, what ultimately the outcome of this election was, because anyone that believes that a guy like Joe Biden, who could barely scrape together 11 people for a campaign event, no one believes that he got 80 million votes. No one believes that he got more votes, you know, over 10 million more votes than the most popular Democrat in American history in Barack Obama. But that is what has happened, and that's where we are right now. So we're moving forward. We feel really strong about the fact that we have, you know, these lawsuits that have moved forward. The state legislatures are actually working with us, which is fantastic. They hold the sole authority to designate
the
electors in every
right.
state. So look, we're having the process play out. We're moving forward every step of the way, and we're going to see what happens. But at the end of this, I still feel very strongly, and I think if you ask any of our legal team and anyone currently at the campaign, they'll tell you the same thing. What we have seen would shock most people, and you haven't even heard the beginning of it. If this is what we know about, John, think about what we don't know about.
And there are some lawmakers now for the first time trying to acquire subpoena power, which will really, I think, elicit the sort of evidence that's been kept away from the public thus far. When you had a tweet this morning, I've been talking about it all day, and so I want to ask you about it because I thought, you know, I've seen time and again election fraud is disputed, it says on all of the tweets, and then if you you go there, it's a baseless claim that there's no basis to anything. You have an incredible very simple allegory that you used in your tweet this morning about the flipping a coin. And why don't you tell us what point you made with this? I just thought I've been talking about it all day.
Well, thank you. But this is true. If you break it down like this, imagine this. Imagine flipping a coin over 4 million times and getting heads 52% of the time. Then at 3 a.m., you flip it 154,000 times and it's 100% tails. That is the state of Michigan, and that is exactly what happened on election night. So when you break it down like that, it very clearly is a jarring situation to people. That is not possible, John. It's just not.
It's not possible. No. It's the best explanation. I've been talking to all these great lawyers, everyone, and I looked at this, and that's the simplest way of making this point. Because that's what really did happen. And it is remarkable. And, you know, what's interesting is I think that the elitists and the political power structure and the mainstream media have ignored it. But increasingly, you're seeing a number of people, the everyday Americans, believing that something bad happened here, that this isn't the way we want our elections to be conducted, that votes are being found and counted 6 and 7 days later, and that there are secret truck loads going in. It sounds more like the old Soviet Republic than the great America we know. Do you think in the court of public opinion that this is sinking in faster, even as the court of law is slow to adjudicate?
Oh, I think 100%. If I told you the number of people that come up to me in the grocery store, I took my kids to the mall on Sunday because it was raining and cold in New York and there was nothing to do.
Right.
Everything's closed. The people that came up to me and said, this president won. We know that Donald Trump won. He got ripped off. I mean, people know. People can very clearly feel what happened. I've said before, I was an athlete for most of my life.
Right.
And I think most people can appreciate, you know, John, if you played a better opponent, if the other team was more prepared than you were, if they just had a better game. But you also know the difference when the refs have been paid off and when, you know, your opponent is wearing metal cleats and is gashing, you know, your goalie in the thigh. This is how people in America are feeling. Like, you know that something is wrong. Whenever deep down in your gut, you know that it's wrong. It's probably wrong. And just statistically, you look at like that, the tweet that we just talked about, it's statistically impossible.
Possible.
And, you know, the Federalist had a great article that kind of laid out some of these things. And I thought it was really smart, but you look down ballot, the down ballot races, Republicans all won. You're telling me that everybody voted down ballot Republican and then forgot to vote for the Republican at the top of the ticket, the head of the party? Give me a break. These kind of things just don't make sense to people. And you know what? They're demanding answers, and rightly so.
Yeah, and there's another phenomenon, which is a lot of the late votes that are counted, those that come in after 10 or 11, have a large number of the down ballots empty, meaning they only filled in Joe Biden. Nothing down below is the early data that we're seeing. We've been FOIAing some of these voters and getting the names and starting to call them, and we're finding some interesting patterns there of people saying, I didn't vote, or I tried to vote and then someone had already voted for me. So we're
right.
Starting to see those patterns. Beyond the Trump v. Biden thing, which is going to work itself out, there's the bigger issue of electoral reform. And President Trump over the weekend when he gave the speech in Georgia was very strong that he's going to push for electoral reform, particularly signature validation, voter ID. Do you think there's a will in the Congress that no matter how this election ultimately turns out, that it's time to rein in some of these practices that got out of control?
Well, I sure hope so. And look, it may hinge on the Senate vote in Georgia, this runoff race. We'll see what happens there. But the reality is, I think whenever you have to have a valid ID to go through the airport to get on an airplane,
right,
but you don't to go vote in the United States of America to arguably do something that is the most impactful thing for the future of our country, I think people are a little frustrated by how nonsensical it seems. And, you know, people saying, oh, well, it disenfranchises certain groups. It absolutely does not. You have to have a driver's license to drive a car. You have to have ID to get on a plane. And you know what? You should have some form of identification to state who you are. And if you are a legal citizen of the United States and of voting age, to go vote in a presidential or otherwise in any other election. And I think most people are coming around to that. And think about how different this election would be right now if that was the standard. But unfortunately, we've had people that have understood that it's beneficial to their party to have illegal people in the United States vote, to have no ID law whatsoever. It's sort of outrageous, and it almost doesn't feel like it should happen in the United States, but I certainly hope so. I think a lot of people after this election are standing up and demanding that something happens. There needs to be some major change in our election process, because very clearly the universal vote by mail, which, by the way, we all were screaming from the rooftops, this is going to be a huge
problem. All spring and summer. Yep.
Yeah, was a huge problem. The idea that you have up to, you know, like 40 days in some states plus to vote in a presidential election. What happened to going in on election day with an ID saying, here's who I am, and I would like to cast a vote for president of the United States? I don't know why that is such a far-fetched idea, but I think a lot of people would like to get back to a system closer to that.
It's interesting. In the there was an important lawsuit today filed directly to the Supreme Court by the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, Republican. And he is, as the top law officer of Texas, suing four other states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, saying, we followed the law, the Constitution here, which is we didn't make changes to our elections without the legislature approving them. But in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Georgia, they did. And that violates the Constitution. And we're disenfranchised. And he asked the Supreme Court to throw out or enjoin those states from being able to participate in the Electoral College. And in there, he said that he just says flatly, these states use the excuse of COVID to create chaos in a system that would evade, you know, all the constitutional protections that we had for voting. Do you see, when you look back now, and it's always hard to see when you're in the middle of the election, but do you see that when you see four or five states that have the exact same changes made, the exact same money coming in from Mark Zuckerberg and his Center for Tech and Civic Life, do you see sort of a larger hand that this seemed to be more thought out than just chaos in the middle of COVID?
Oh, without a doubt. I think a lot of people are feeling that way. I mean, you know, it feels like we got taken in America. It feels like this was all orchestrated, that look, there was a definite concerted effort on the part of the mainstream media to blow COVID out of proportion. Yes, it is a serious disease if you are of a certain age, if you have underlying health conditions,
right,
if you have a weakened immune system. But for the vast majority of people, for children, for most people in America, this is a survivable, virus, and it should have in no way impacted the way that we voted in America, among many other things. I mean, we don't even have enough time to get into that. But truly, I think that this from the beginning has been, they seized on this on the Democrat side and in the media, and they ran with it because they knew that they could get these changes that would make it very easy to cheat, very easy for fraud to run rampant across the country. And in shockingly in key states that are needed to win the presidency. And so, I think when you look back on it, I think a lot of people feel that way, like they got taken and like this was, you know, this was a scam.
It is remarkable. And you look at the president's performance. I mean, he did pretty well in the last election. Obviously, he picks up 11 million more votes. He's got more votes than any Republican in the history of America. And that's unusual. Usually a president struggles to get the same number of votes he got in his first election. Barack Obama went down in his second election. What do you think of this coalition that your father-in-law has built? I mean, it's remarkable, right? There's African and Latinos that have joined. There are first-time voters. There are everyday Americans who stayed out of politics now voting. No matter what happens with this election, what happens to that 73 million person block in America? And how can the Trump family, the Trump apparatus and others build upon what's been done for the Republican Party?
Well, I mean, Donald Trump changed politics, period. He changed the Republican Party. It truly has been a movement in America. What we've seen happen, it's unprecedented. And I really think that I've said this for a long time, when history looks back on this president, they will see what an incredible man he was, what an incredible job he did. And people will one day be able to fully appreciate what this man did in a very short time in office, more than most presidents dream of doing in two full terms in office. He's gotten done already in one, and we hope to see the next 4 years for Donald Trump as well in the White House, and to see so much more happen. But look, I think that you can't go through something like this as a family and not be changed as well. None of us had ever been involved in politics before this.
Right.
I don't know that any of us ever imagined being involved in politics, yet here we are.
You're all in now.
So I think, Whether we like it or not, we're in. So I think for all of us, look, we all plan to stay very active in whatever way we can over, you know, the next who knows how long, hopefully over the next several decades, because the country is it has been changed. Again, this party has been changed. People have, you know, opened their eyes to the Republican Party. And so many people said, oh, my gosh, maybe I've been a conservative this whole time. But it took Donald Trump to show them that that's exactly, you know, who they were. So we'll stay involved in one way or another. I don't know fully what it looks like yet. I think we're all still fighting this fight right now and trying to get through this situation. Yeah, but look, we'll see what happens. I can assure you that President Trump is going nowhere. He will be the head of this party for a long time to come, and the rest of us feel the same way. We want to stay involved, and look, we want to see the right things happen in this country.
Yeah, there's no doubt that that the president is indelibly changed the Republican Party, made it bigger and more dynamic in ways that we're still beginning to appreciate. I don't think we fully appreciate how much the party's changed. Now, atop your Twitter, you've always had this favorite thing. I always snicker every time I see this. North Carolina girl in New York City. And so a lot of people forget that you have a lot of roots in North Carolina. And so there was a poll out yesterday, and there were two Trumps in the lead of the poll. The president, not surprisingly, was the pick of 74% of North Carolina Republicans in 2024. They would love to see him run again even. But you were the second Trump in the lead in the Senate race there. And I'm just curious what your reaction is to finish atop for someone who hasn't even declared as a candidate to be atop the Senate race and to be the favorite of Republicans in North Carolina. What does that feel like? And does your belly burn for politics some more after this?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think we all need to take a deep breath after this one. You know what? I grew up in North Carolina. It's my home state. My family all still live there. My parents still have and live in the house that I came home from the hospital to.
No kidding.
I mean, it is my home. And truly, it's an honor to be considered in any way for a position like that. And I'm humbled and flattered that, you know, people feel that way. But I do think, sadly, you know, it deters a lot of good people from running for politics to see what has happened to this president. And I mean, by and large, our entire family, we've all been targeted. We've all been, you know, the focus of negativity, unlike anything I think any of us ever imagined. But that said, there's another side to it. And that side is to see the way that you can positively impact people's lives. And I've seen throughout this president's first term in office, the way that he is so beloved by so many because he truly has kept his promises. He has delivered unlike, you know, any president in modern history in numerous ways for people, made life better, easier. And really, you know, to see that, it does make you say, well, gosh, wouldn't it be great if we could continue that in some way? Wouldn't it be great to have more conservatives in the Senate or in Congress in some variety and, you know, in any form in politics? I think to have, you know, young conservatives, especially a woman, would be amazing. But again, we're still focused on this election right
now. You are.
So we'll see what happens. And never say never, but I have nothing to declare as of today.
Well, it is flattering to see that the people of North Carolina are already looking ahead just in case. It's pretty amazing. I have one last anecdote, and I'm going to let you go because I know you've got other meetings to go to. But I came up to Trump Tower back in, I think it was December 2015 or November 2015, and saw the future president for a few moments. And I remember seeing in some of the offices all these toys starting to mount up. And I know I just saw Eric, your husband, tweeting out about this, but you guys have been big Toy for Tots supporters for a long time. And I just wonder, you know, people don't see this side of the Trump family. They see all the conflict, they see the politics and all that. But on the backside, there's always something in the area of charity going on. I'm just curious if you could talk about how your family, you know, gets so involved, not only around the holidays, but all the time in charitable efforts. They don't talk about it, but you're always involved in something trying to help people.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, we truly are. And I actually was just up on my husband's floor, and that's where they have the huge display of the Toys for Tots stuff. I said if our son was here, we would have to, like, hide everything because he would have opened it all.
Of course.
But Yeah, but look, I've done so much with, I'm a big animal rescue advocate,
right.
And I've done so much with rescue dogs, horses. I always am a huge advocate for adoption. It's a great time to adopt a pet if you're in the market. Eric had for 10 years a charity called the Eric Trump Foundation, and its sole purpose was to donate money to St. Jude Children's Hospital. And
wow.
He raised tens of millions of dollars for St. Jude, and there's an ICU and surgery center that is named after the Eric Trump Foundation at St. Jude. And it was something that I can tell you, I've seen Eric negotiate pennies off of a dollar because he knew that that was more money that would go to those kids. It's something that impressed me from day one with him. And you're right. You never hear about it.
You don't.
And the president himself has been philanthropic his entire life. You don't hear about those stories, but the stories about him, you know, sponsoring a boys basketball team in the Bronx because they weren't going to be able to get uniforms that year. That's, you know, you hear all of these stories. They'll never come out in the mainstream way.
Media. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, this family, the Trump family, is incredibly charitable, incredibly giving. And look, they all have known from day one how fortunate they are. And they've been, you know, humbled to give back. And we continue to do that. And we're really proud of the toys that right now that we're collecting for the Toys for Tots.
Yeah, it's such an important, all those are all important charities. But it's so good. And it's so good to remind people that behind all the politics, there are just, you know, everyday things that the Trump family does that makes America better. So, Laura, I want to thank you so much for your time and all you're doing, and we wish you luck. And I know the next few weeks are probably going to be full of a lot of work as you guys fight fight through the court system to resolve this election. But thanks for taking the time, and we hope to have you back on soon.
You got it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Laura. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. We'll be right back to wrap things up in a few seconds right after this commercial break.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Laura Trump. I hope you get the time to go on to justthenews.com later today. Go look at this story about Papa John, John Schnatter, and what Louis Free, the former FBI director, found. A remarkable story of media malfeasance in cancel culture in the boardroom. All avoidable. Had facts, not emotion. Had common sense, not sensationalism. Predominated back in 2018 when John Schnatter was forced to step away from the company he founded. But the most important thing here is go take a look at what the media reported. You can see the actual stories in the story that I wrote. Go back and look at them, and then look at what Louis Free found in the transcripts. How different the actual evidence in the transcript was from what these reporters alleged in the story. That's the great conundrum that American news media are facing today. They continue to get really big, important stories wrong. And in so doing, they destroy their reputations. This has gone back a while now, right? Richard Jewell, we just had the movie of Richard Jewell. You saw what happened to him. Wrong about that. We know about Wen Ho Lee, the guy, the lab, government lab guy who was wrongly accused of leaking the W-88 nuclear design to the Chinese when in fact he hadn't. We had the guy who was falsely accused of carrying out the anthrax attacks at Fort Detrick when he wasn't the man. But more recently, Carter Page, right? Look at what Carter Page was called, a spy when he was working for the CIA instead. He's called a Russian spy and derided. And now John Schnatter called a racist. And when you find out what's in these transcripts, I think you're going to have a very different opinion than the one that the Associated Press and the Washington Post, the New York Times, Forbes Magazine, UPI left us with in 2018, with stories that Louis Free now, the former FBI director, claims were inaccurate. And I think he makes a pretty good case because he gives us the transcripts to make up our own mind with. Check that out. Check out all the breaking news. We had a lot of big developments on the front this morning. Texas sued four states, claiming they violated the Constitution the way they conducted their elections with mail-in ballot. We got the Arizona Supreme Court taking a look at one of the Trump appeals on an expedited basis, and we're waiting to see if Justice Alito accepts the Trump campaign, or Republican, I should say, Republican lawsuit in Pennsylvania challenging the election results here. All of that breaking news always available to you at justthenews.com. Check us out often on your phone, on your computer, and soon, yes, very soon, we'll have an app for your phone, an official app for iOS and Google Android phones, so you can watch, listen, and read in much easier fashion inside the confines of a really snappy app. That's coming up soon. We know you wanted that. We're working hard to get it to you. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, have a safe and blessed time with your family tonight. And remember, check out the breaking news. Whenever you need a news fix, go to justthenews.com. We not only give you the stories, we give you the facts and the data underneath them so you can make up your own mind. We hope you appreciate that. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, have a good night.